Tuesday, May 19th, here at City Hall, 6:30. All council members are present. Please join with me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. All right, so that brings us into the agenda this evening. The first agenda item is public comments and appearances. Please remember that if you have public comments or this evening, you have up to 3 minutes, and we maintain the right to close out public comments after 30 minutes. Is there anyone with public comments?
Could you please sign the clipboard as well? Thank you.
Name and address.
My name is Dean Wiegert. I'm at 3708 East Norport Drive in the town of Port. I'm here because I would like to encourage all city residents to drive north on KW, because LL is closed again, to Lake Road. Take Lake Road while you still can, through the middle of the data center property, see the wondrous sights, see the amazing equipment, see the land transformed. Look to the north of Lake Road, just west of LL, see the rows of what look like barracks or house trailers. We were told there'd be no worker camps on the site, no living quarters. Ask yourself what those trailers are. Take this drive on a hot day, maybe when it's 75 or 80, when there's been no rain for a while, when a good stiff 15 to 25 mile per hour wind is coming from the south or west. Don't open your car windows and maybe turn off the air conditioning and fan. The dust may not be good for your car. The dust isn't really good for anything. It must be okay though, because I don't see the workers wearing respirators, and I don't know why OSHA doesn't require that. The dust is pretty thick. From a mile away, it looks like fog, but it is coming from the data center, from all that open disturbed soil, causing air quality issues that are not being addressed. Timing is important. Heading back home, you'll have to take KW again. Go about 4:30 or 5, you'll get to experience an actual rush hour traffic jam right here on country county roads. First, you'll see the hardworking Sheriff's Department officers standing there directing traffic, as if the Sheriff's Department had nothing better to do than facilitate data center construction. You may even get to experience sitting in a 3/4 mile line of cars and trucks not moving, just sitting there waiting for traffic to move. Imagine living on that road. People do. And then when you finally get onto H to go back over the freeway, you'll probably get lucky again and the state patrol will stop you so that the long line of cars waiting at the southbound 43 exit can get off the ramp. Glance across the freeway, see the long line of dump trucks, cement trucks, and other cars and trucks backed up all the way down the I-43 northbound exit ramp, trying to get back to the data center. Ask yourself how those state patrol officers could make better use of their time. What's not getting done because they're directing traffic? Ask yourself why Vantage wasn't required to have a plan for getting hundreds of trucks and thousands of workers in and out of the data center site without putting a strain on our county roads, our county sheriff's officers, our state patrol. It's almost like no one thought about how much traffic there would be. Ask yourself why the city officials didn't think of demanding that Vantage have a plan. Since they took over Highland Road, why wasn't their first action to make a south entrance onto the site to facilitate that traffic without impacting all the rest of us? It's easy to say that they want to be a trusted neighbor and partner. It's a little bit harder to actually demonstrate that. Thank you for your time.
I just want to make one clarifying point, sir, from your comments, is there is no housing on those sites, on that site at all. We were out there yesterday, and that is office space that was brought into support the construction project. So thank you for bringing that to our attention.
All of those trailers?
Yes, sir, all of them.
They're still coming.
So any other public comments or appearances? Any other public comments or appearances? Okay, we're gonna move into the agenda. The next agenda item is the consent agenda. Is there anyone willing to make a motion on the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. That brings us into mayor's business. I've just got a couple of quick things here. First, council, I had sent to you over the weekend the boards, commissions, and committee structure for this, my recommendations for this year and appointments for this year. Many people willing to continue to serve, and many new people on the commissions. Again, working hard to have a nice diverse balance of both men and women and diversity on those boards and commissions. And I'm still holding open the one appointment, which is the Police and Fire Commission, until I have finished interviewing a couple of people. But otherwise, any other questions for me on that? Otherwise, looking for your approval for those appointments.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
There's a motion to approve and a second. Any questions or concerns on that motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, the motion carries. Again, members of the community who serve on these boards, commissions, and committees will be contacted. We do a training, but we also want to just thank them for their commitment to serving in Port Washington. All right, that brings me to my next agenda item, which is an EMS Fire Week proclamation. You heard 3 minutes ago the ambulance and support vehicles take off. There was a car accident, and they called me and said they would not be here tonight. So this week is the is the Fire and EMS Week. I have a proclamation, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it to the fire station myself and deliver it to them. But I would ask all community members to recognize that this week is EMS Week in the city of Port Washington and across the country, and that we now have a full-time fire service and EMS service thanks to the community passing the referendum and the vision of our current fire chief, Joe DeBoer. And just if you have the opportunity to see the men, women, and people who serve and support our city, to thank them for doing so. That then leaves me into the mayor updates. Just a couple of quick things. One is I just wanted to extend gratitude to Susan, Melissa, Dan also, and Mary Lou. Yesterday, I had my mayors for the day. So we had 6 fourth graders who had a really, I think, pretty cool day. They started out their morning here. They got sworn in by Susan, and their parents and grandparents were here. Very interesting how it all comes full circle. Our former city administrator's granddaughter was here, so he got to experience coming in and seeing his granddaughter potentially having the authority over her grandpa, so that was pretty fun. And then we also had, for the first time ever, a second family member who was a mayor for the day. So the 3 brothers in the family and the school voted the middle brother in. So we had a good day, went from here to the Police and Fire Safety Center, where they got a tour of the new Police and Fire Safety Center. One of the things I think is most remarkable about young people, and I'm going to invite them to come in July or August, is their questions are the exact same questions that you find anywhere else. So they wanted to know, like, why are we building a house for the fire chief in the back? And it's like, that's not a house for the fire chief. It's a burn center. You know, they asked a lot of questions of law enforcement and the fire chief as well. The fire chief and Lieutenant Kanowski did something pretty neat for the young people who were with me yesterday. They signed the floor. So in what will be the training area in the community room, they took a Sharpie marker and they wrote on there, on this day, the mayors all signed the floor. So they all signed the floor, and that was pretty cool. It'll be carpeted over, but that carpet will be replaced in 30 years. Chris's replacement will be like, hey, we found a bunch of old mayor signatures on the floor, and they'll run a fun little story in the press for them.
It goes along with the beam upstairs.
It goes along with the beam, yeah, which is really cool, which they had also signed, I found out. So that from there, we went up to the Vantage Data Center site, and the Vantage team, the Michaels team, and the Turner team treated the kids to a really cool tour of the site. They had all their PPE gear on. I don't know why, but they also got sunglass safety gear, so they thought they all looked like a little bunch of superheroes in their safety gear. And again, asking amazing questions. So very proud of our school system in Port Washington. Had a nice dignitary lunch. They got to meet their state representative, the sheriff, and a candidate who's running for governor. Missy Hughes joined us because she was at the sewer tour for the site. And then they went and renamed the streets. So they unveiled the streets. Rob, please make sure to share our gratitude with JD. He did a really nice job. Lincoln Elementary brought out their entire student body. So the kids did a 3-2-1, and it was very, very cool piece. And then from there, we went and visited some local businesses to say thank you to them. And, of course, ended our day with some ice cream, which 2 cans donated to the young kids. And then when they realized that it was free, they wanted more. So, but it was a very good day of learning. And I also just wanted to thank, again, we did the same thing on Friday for seniors. So it was a very cool opportunity for me to work with our seasoned citizens and our newest citizens. And they did the same tour as well. So very, very good day. So I just wanted to thank everybody for that, especially Joe and Kevin and Lieutenant Kanowski for the extra time they gave. That's all I have for mayor's updates. Any questions for me about anything? Deb, again, thank you for co-hosting with me on Friday with the seniors. It's a good day.
It was certainly my pleasure, and I've said this to multiple people. When I graduated from high school, females were not allowed to do many things. I was blown away by the number of women operating huge equipment and dump trucks on that site. So very happy to see that, and thank you. Great opportunity.
Yeah, yeah. And the lead of the project, Victoria, was on our tour with us. So it was a very cool day. Okay, that brings us into officer and staff reports.
I'll never miss an opportunity to share our department head updates that are on the administration page each month. They're usually 20 pages or more, so all the updates are there each month. I encourage you all to take a look at those. Two things for next meeting. I believe we have the bike ped plan coming to the next meeting. Is that right, Rob? And that should be exciting. And then we also have the audit next month, or the next meeting too. So those two will be exciting for the June 2nd meeting. And then I just wanted to announce we are hiring over 80 people for summer help temporary. We get the summer kids in. They'll start mowing and we'll get things going. You may see a little extra long grass right now, but we will get to it because we wait until summer when they're back from school that we can have them help the city out instead of having all full-time employees. We had two retirements. One will be June 15th. The chief of police is retiring. And July 3rd, our building inspector is retiring after many years here. And then our receptionist out front here, she took a position in her career path. So we're very proud of her too. She's looking at accounting. So we're sad to see her go, but we are recruiting for that position and a few summer positions. So check those out online if you have any kids or grandkids that are interested. And that's all.
I just had one addition, Rob, and I know I'm not trying to throw you out here, but in the staffing report, it said that North Beach Access, the street crews are scheduled to perform the earthwork on May 22nd. Are we still on schedule for that for Memorial Day weekend?
They are going to be out there tomorrow, and we are committed to getting it open for Memorial Day weekend.
Awesome.
Yep.
Greatly appreciate that. Okay. Any other questions or additions?
This is where we're calling you out, Rob. Can we talk about Highway 33 resurfacing and the timeline for that?
Yep, that is scheduled. So we haven't had a pre-con meeting. We just we do have the schedule from the contractor, however, and he'll be mobilizing in mid-June, so just a few weeks away, and they have it scheduled for completion in mid-September. So the road will be open at all times to through traffic other than nighttime work for about 5 days when they pave the roundabout.
And also, congratulations on the Lighthouse Award you went up to Sturgeon Bay for.
Yes, it was fun. Yeah.
Did this end at, did you guys get some pancakes up there or something fun? I mean, did you go up to Al Johnson's?
Didn't go. It was in Sturgeon Bay, not Sister Bay.
Well, 25 minutes for the greatest pancakes in America.
Well, that's true.
Well, congratulations for that. I'd love to see that posted online so people can see that because that was great work. Okay. Any other questions for Melissa or team? Okay, then that takes us into our first agenda item for the evening, the council committees. Consideration and possible action on the approval of renewed alcohol licenses and annual cabaret licenses for 26-27 license year. The Common Council is being asked to review and approve the alcohol and annual cabaret licenses to include Class A beer, Class A liquor, Class B beer, Class B liquor, and Class C wine. Also being approved are annual cabaret licenses. The staff recommended is the full listing by license category of the establishments have been submitted, and the city clerk has reviewed and approved the backgrounds and applications, and all required fees have been paid, and the background record checks completed and approved by the police chief. Susan.
Thank you. And there are not many changes this year to the establishment licenses. They've all renewed, and including the cabarets as well. All of their paperwork is in order, fees paid. There were no significant changes to alcohol agents. You've already approved some of those over the course of the last 4 or 5 months. As the mayor said, the police background checks have been completed. The only thing I would ask that if you choose to approve, it would be subject to any delinquent fees to the city be paid prior to me issuing their license. We just have a few that have outstanding, not greatly outstanding, but outstanding fees to the city that need to be taken care of. So,
thank you. Any questions or concerns for Susan, Mr. Benning?
No. The GGF reviewed this and recommends approval. So, with that, I'll make the motion per what Susan stated that we approve it contingent on payment of any outstanding fees.
All right, so the motion is to approve it contingent upon outstanding fees. Is there a second?
Second.
There is a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I do get nervous about what Class C wine is, but, you know, that's a dumb dad inside joke I make every year, and it falls flat every year. Okay, so public here. The next is a public hearing on proposed text to section 485-170 of the City of Port Washington Zoning Code to allow indoor storage uses in existing industrial plan developments. I'm going to call that hearing to order. Notice is hereby given that this is a public hearing of the Common Council on Tuesday, May 19th at 6:30 here at City Hall. Notice is further given that the subject of the hearing is a proposed text amendment to section 485-170 of the City of Port Washington Zoning Code to allow indoor storage uses in existing industrial plan developments. And at this time, is there anyone willing to speak in favor of this agenda or this proposed text amendment? Any speakers in favor? Any speakers against? Are there any speakers against? Okay, seeing none, I'm going to close this hearing and move us into the agenda item, which is consideration of possible action on ordinance 2026-02, amending the zoning ordinance relating to permitted uses by right in the one or the I-1 existing industrial and I-2 industrial park zone districts. City of Port Washington is the applicant. This is the second reading, meaning we can take action. The issue is, should the council amend section 485-170 of the City of Port Washington Zoning Code to add indoor storage to the list of permitted uses for existing industrial plan developments? Mr. Harris.
Okay, so this ordinance change, or this proposed ordinance change, is pretty self-explanatory. What it would do is formally codify indoor storage as a permitted use in our industrial plan developments. Those are all, in this case, kind of those business barn formats and of various mixed uses of light industrial uses. And just as we've gotten two approved, one's been approved for about 7 years now, maybe six. One is under construction now. And just meeting with police and fire, discussing some of the issues they've gone on in their inspections, I think we just kind of made a determination and concurrence by the plan commission that indoor storage would be a passive use and a kind of an acceptable use in terms of both the use and the layout of these types of plan developments. This went to plan commission. This was unanimously recommended for the council to approve.
Yeah, and again, having chaired planning commission, we had the discussion on this, and frankly, with our industrial park and the lack of any interest in bringing light or any other types of manufacturing, we believe this to be a good use of that property. So any other questions for Bob or concerns or comments?
I'll move to approve.
Mr. Benning, there's a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded. Any questions or concerns on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, motion carries. That takes us to Board of Public Works, consideration and possible action on a proposal to submit a grant application for the design and construction of a railroad underpass on the Interurban Trail located between Oakland Avenue and Park Street. The issue is, should the City of Port Washington approve a proposal from TKDA to submit an application for a U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Railroad Administration Railroad Crossing Elimination Grant? Seriously? For the purposes of taking the Interurban Trail off of Oakland Avenue and Park Street and constructing an off-street connection under the RR or the railroad tracks with We Energy's right-of-way. Staff is recommending approving the proposal from TKDA to submit an application to the United States Department of Transportation Federal Railroad Administration Railroad Crossing Elimination Grant Program for the purposes of taking the Interurban Trail off of Oakland Avenue and Park Street and constructing an off-street connection under the railroad tracks with the We Energies right-of-way. Rob, I appreciate the creativity of this. You have the floor.
Thank you very much. So this is listed under Board of Public Works. It's now been to Board of Public Works last week, which approved it unanimously, and then went to GGF before this meeting, which received a 2-1 vote against. So that's the background on the support or lack of support for it so far. But this project is something we've been working on and what came up in GGF, and I have to apologize for it. You know, this project is new to some people on the council. I think the only person that hopefully it's familiar to is Alderman Neumeier, because we applied for a grant in 2005, which we received, but ultimately transferred the funds to complete a section of the bike trail on the north side of the city where the bike trail used to spill out on LL. We use that money for the county to pave an off-street trail on the north end from the hotel on LL to the bike trail just north of the town hall. So that was done with the funding we received back again in 2005. Since then, the county's continued to work on making this dream a reality of taking this section of road, section of path, which is outside of downtown, the only on-street portion of the bike path. And unfortunately, this portion is also without a sidewalk either. So pedestrians have to walk on the road for at least a portion of it. But in any case, it's something that we've always had in the back of our minds, but have not put in the 10-year plan because it does come with a large price tag. Anytime you work with the railroad, it has a strong impact on the cost. And so it's something that, again, we've had in mind as we are currently putting in our sanitary sewer relay in that area. We have been kind of preparing the grade for a potential crossing at some point. We had communicated to TKDA our desire to put in a railroad crossing there someday, and started having initial conversations with them. And during these conversations, they approached us with this grant opportunity, which is part of a 5-year grant program. Unfortunately, this is the 5th year of the program. We were not aware of it. And so that's why we have a timeline that I know some of the members of GGF weren't comfortable with it. Again, we only became aware of the grant at the end of April, and it's due June 8th. So this is the reason staff is recommending it and Board of Public Works is recommending it, is because it takes a nearly half mile on street portion of the trail, which crosses railroad tracks at grade and puts it below grade, creating a safer crossing for bikes and pedestrians, and also cuts that section of the trail almost in half. And so we feel that this is a good amenity. It comes with a 20% local share. Again, there was concern by GGF regarding the commitment to that local share that could be anywhere, we estimate, between $260,000 and $400,000. The grant, I did get confirmation, they're currently estimating it at $1.3 million without contingency. That's in 2026 dollars. So when we would apply for the grant, we would apply for it for a dollar figure that fit what we would think would be the construction schedule, whether that's 3 years or 4 years or 5 years. We would tack that onto the contingency if we were to apply. I guess I've said a lot about it already now at two meetings, so I won't say much more. But if there's any questions, I can certainly do my best to answer them.
Oh, okay. Any questions for Rob or comments?
Well, comments.
Mr. Benning?
More to follow on what Rob talked about in the discussion in GGF was because the short timeline that this came to us, we weren't sure where this fit with our 10-year plan, capital plan, what would have to give, what would have a lower, would have to move down in priority for this project to be funded. We talked a lot about getting funding through the county or donations or other things like that. You know, we don't have those in hand, so we can't count on that one. But we're struggling with committing future councils to, you know, I'll say 400, but if the inflated dollars are more than that, we're just uncomfortable committing that kind of money at this point on such short notice. So conceptually, I think, and I'll let the others on GGF speak, but I think we like the idea of the project. We're just uncomfortable with how it's going to be funded for our share of it, which, you know, we've talked 400,000, but it probably more than that at this point. So I'll let Deb or Jonathan comment.
Other questions or concerns?
Yeah, we talked also about shifting priorities. I'm sure Alderman Neumeier would not want to give up fixing alleys to allow this to happen before. We have a list of priorities, so in order to evaluate this project from a financial perspective, we would need to find out where we would slot this in. So we need a little bit more time and more information.
Yeah, Mr. Player. I think Alderman Benning kind of said it pretty well, that we have to remove some other things from the priority list. So I think as soon as we know, Rob, when we're awarded the grant, when we want to start the project, we'd have to push those things back or cancel them or move things down the priority list. So I think for me, having a proactive dialogue this fall when we do budget and capital planning for the next 5 years, 10 years, when we hone in on that plan, I want to make sure that we sort of start to delineate what those priorities are so we can potentially kick some of them down, because that's what this essentially means for us, is that we have to move $400,000 project to later in time.
Well, I guess I would say not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
I mean, we would certainly work. We feel that we have commitment from the county that they would work with us to try and raise the local share. You know, they have a proven success rate with getting grants. We would continue to pursue grants. We would continue to pursue donations, whether they're corporate donations or private donations. I know that the biking community has donated other things in the past, so we wouldn't give up on that. And I certainly don't want to be say that $400,000 is a trivial amount. It doesn't buy as much as it used to buy, and so you know, that can $400,000 could be the delta on a project, as I said downstairs. For instance, we're tracking to come in much more than $400,000 under on the police and fire building, other commitments that we have in the future, whether it's the bluff or the street department or a road construction project. Those projects could come under, they could come in over, but we could come in, we could bring a grant for another project that we weren't expecting, another grant opportunity where we have more funding. And so I guess I feel it's worth the risk to commit the local share towards getting the money so that a future council has the opportunity to build this project. And again, I wish it was on the, it's in the bike and ped plan. You know, this is all kind of happening at once. We certainly didn't anticipate that we would be dropped into the last year of a $1 billion funding cycle, but I guess that's where we are. And so we wanted to bring this grant opportunity to the council and see if there was interest in doing it.
Other questions, Mr. Beister?
I just want to, not a question, but a comment. I just want to reiterate what I said in Public Works. This kind of spills out in my neighborhood. And since I moved here, I've felt like that's kind of an unsafe section of the bike trail for families in Chain and Acres. So, having learned a couple of years ago that the interurban train actually used to run under the other train there, I think it's a cool project. So to me, there's no issue with pursuing a grant and seeing where it goes, and then answer the other questions later. So thank you for working on it.
Ms. Miller?
I agree with Alder Beister. This is something that we talked about in Port Moves and at our Public Works, and I think this is an excellent way to go about it. And we could be denied, so it could be, you know, nothing lost but nothing gained. So, and also give you the experience when the next time it comes around to write a grant. So I think this is a worthwhile effort to proceed, and that's where I would like to see us go.
Mr. Gasper?
Yeah, I also think it's worthwhile going after this grant. This area of the city, because of railroad tracks, does not have good connectivity through, and this really offers a chance to connect neighborhoods back together. When you build have this underpass, you know, you're not just connecting the bike trail through, you're likely also connecting, say, from the end of Lincoln and Madison down through too, making those neighborhoods that much closer to everything without having to go over to Grand Avenue, which is a heavily trafficked street, or over to Oakland, which doesn't have sidewalk and is an industrial area, and you have to dodge the semi-trucks. As far as the planning for it, for the spending, this wouldn't be the first time we went after a grant without having a definitive funding source down in the future as to how we were going to pay for something. The Valley Creek grants we got for it, there was some promise that of federal funding that might come thereafter, but that was before we had any dream of a TIF 5 that was going to be able to come and pay for a huge portion of it. So it, we've done stuff like this before, and sometimes when the opportunity comes up, I think we're best off jumping at the opportunity and then figuring out, you know, what funds are we going to shift around later? And, you know, saying that, it's not a foregone conclusion that we're going to win the grant. And if we do win the grant, we still have to deal with Union Pacific, who's a good chance Union Pacific comes and just says absolutely not because they're Union Pacific. So there's a lot of obstacles that have to be overcome before this actually would come to fruition. And I think on the off chance that we can bring it to fruition, I think it's worth going after the grant now. And you know, I'm not convinced it'll actually happen, but you know, if we don't try, we won't make it happen. And you know, we're likely to be back on the same path 5-10 years from now, trying to achieve it again when the opportunity comes up, and it's going to cost a lot more. So I'm in favor of going forward with the grant at this time.
Rob, I have a couple questions, and Matt's kind of prepped for this as well, but did we look at the potential use of impact fees through PARC for this project and a potential of increasing those impact fees slightly to offset the cost because of the significant amount of impact of a certain project in Port Washington that would offset this by a couple of dollars?
I have not had the opportunity to do that yet, but that is something that we've considered, and because this is a recreational amenity, I would leave this up to Matt and our people who write these plans. But it seems like because it is a recreational amenity, that is something that could be eligible for a recreational impact fee.
And again, I normally would not be a big proponent of increasing impact fees. However, because of one project that is maxing out on the impact fees, and it would not necessarily impact anyone else building a home or a property. It's just a wondering.
Yeah. I think certainly, you know, I don't know about raising or impact fees or anything like that, but certainly this would be a project that park impact fees would be something that we could contribute financially to this project.
Melissa?
Just a note, park impact fees are not charged on development that are not residential. So keep that in mind. I don't know if we'd...
Or change the ordinance. Okay. Mr. Neumeier? Then I have one more question.
I fully support this. I understand the liability of having to come up with the funds later on, but when we bypass this, back when I first came on council, I was very disappointed in it. That area of the bike path is pathetic. I have friends that ride it, and they bemoan what Port does. They claim our bike system, that area isn't very good, and it isn't. But as Alderman Gasper said, we've done this before where we've applied for a grant and looked how we could fund it, our portion of it later on. I would put a lot of faith in the county. They've been very good at writing grants, phenomenal, as a matter of fact. So I think it would be a big improvement. I am a big advocate of fixing our alleys, so I stand corrected on that. So I would support this. So thank you.
One other question I had, putting on my old hat here, is did we talk to the school district at all about this, what the impact is for them? Because in the state of Wisconsin, the way the statutes work is if there's a railroad crossing, it automatically pulls the lever back for busing. And then there are radiuses and ranges of which you can ask walkers if there's no safe way to cross a railroad track. That is a thing in the state of Wisconsin. This would then provide the safe passage underneath or past that. So I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind also checking with the district on that, because the young people who live in that area likely go to Dunwoody on the east side. And on the west side, if they go to the high school and they're under the age of 16, they qualify for busing as well, because there's no safe way across the railroad track, and this would provide that safety. So there could be some efficiencies for our other taxing partners. That's all I had. So is there any other discussion on this?
Can I just add
Mr. Gasper?
One anecdote following up on what you said, having gone to Dunwoody and having friends who lived east of the railroad tracks and walked to Dunwoody every day, because I, at that time at least, I don't think busing was offered for them. But they, I don't think any of them that I knew ever actually walked Grand Avenue. They always either did Oakland where there wasn't sidewalk, or they just went and cut across the tracks where it was convenient anyway, yeah. Which would be approximately where we want to put this overpass in.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't help their route to school. You can only make a safe one. But I appreciate the creativity and the work on this. And with a discussion looking to come to a close, is there anyone willing to make a motion for the consideration and action? There is a recommended motion to approve the TKDA proposal to submit an application to the U.S. Department of Transportation Federal Railroad Administration Railroad Crossing Elimination Grant. That's 12 words in a title. Program for the purposes of taking the interurban trail off of Oakland Avenue and Park Street and constructing an off-street connection under the railroad tracks with the We Energies right-of-way.
I would move staff's recommendation for that project.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Is moved and seconded. Any questions or concerns on the motion? All right, seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passes. Thank you. Brings us into our last areas of public comments and appearances for before we head into potential closed session. Is there anyone willing to make a public comment or appearance? Okay, seeing none. The next agenda item then is to convene in a closed session per Wisconsin State Statute 19.851E for the purpose of deliberating or negotiating the purchase of public properties, the investing of public funds, or conducting other specified business, public business, whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session, to wit, to discuss and formulate negotiating strategies, including, without limitation, the terms and conditions for an offer to purchase received by PFD Development from PFD Development LLC regarding the city-owned property at 104 West Washington Street and 365 North Wisconsin Street in the city of Port Washington, Ozaukee County, Wisconsin, tax ID number 16-098-10-101-001. Is there anyone willing to make that motion?
So moved.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions or concerns on the motion? All right. This is a voice vote. Ward 1.
Aye.
Ward 2.
Aye.
Ward 3.
Aye.
Ward 4.
Aye.
Ward 5.
Aye.
Ward 6.
Aye.
Ward 7.
Aye.
Ward 8. That motion, I said 8 again. Mr. Benning, did you want a 1/8 vote? Yeah, District 8. Convened into closed session is the next agenda item per Wisconsin State Statute 19.851G for the purpose of conferring with legal counsel for the governmental body who is rendering oral or written advice concerning strategy to be adopted by the body with respect to litigation in which it is or is likely to become involved. Is there anyone willing to make a motion to close for closed session on agenda item 2?
So moved.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any questions or concerns on that motion? Seeing none, District 1,
aye.
District 2,
aye.
District 3,
aye.
District 4,
aye.
District 5,
aye.
District 6,
aye.
District 7.
Aye.
All right, we are now in closed session. Please clear the chambers. Council, let's meet in 2 minutes inside chambers.